who forgives all our sins.
His mercy endures forever.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name.
Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, in your tender love for the human race, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our nature and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his suffering and also share in his resurrection through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord. The psalm is read in unison. Psalm 31, 9 through 16. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with sorrow, and also my throat and my belly. For my life is wasted with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails me because of affliction, and my bones are consumed. I have become a reproach to all my enemies, and even to my neighbors, a dismay to those of my acquaintance. When they see me in the street, they avoid me. I am forgotten like a dead man, out of my mind. I am as useless as a broken pot, for I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around. They put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life. But as for me, I have trusted in you, O Lord. I have said, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face to shine upon your servant, and in your loving kindness, save me.
Thank you. Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them,
I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said,
Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying,
This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
And he did the same with a cup after supper, saying,
This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed.
Then the apostles began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. A dispute also arose among the apostles as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But Jesus said to them,
The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers.
And Peter said to Jesus, Jesus said,
I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me.
Jesus said to his apostles,
When I sent you out without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?
They said, Jesus said to them,
But now, the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was counted among the lawless. And indeed, what is written about me is being fulfilled.
They said, He replied,
It is enough.
Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them,
Pray that you may not come into the time of trial.
Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed.
Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done.
Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them,
"Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial."
While Jesus was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him,
"Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?"
When those who were around Jesus saw what was coming, they asked. Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said,
"No more of this."
And he touched the slave's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him,
"Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness."
Then the crowd seized Jesus and led him away. The crowd brought Jesus into the high priest's house, but Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing Peter in the firelight, stared at him and said, "But Peter denied it, saying..." A little later, someone else, on seeing Peter, said, "But Peter said..." Then, about an hour later, still another kept insisting, "But Peter said..." At that moment, while Peter was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how Jesus had said to him,
"Before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times.
And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, They kept heaping many other insults on Jesus. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought Jesus to their council. They said,
"If you are the Messiah, tell us."
Jesus replied,
"If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
All of them asked,
"Are you the Son of God?"
Jesus said to them,
"You say that I am."
Then they said, Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse Jesus, saying, Then Pilate asked Jesus. Jesus answered,
"You say so."
Then Pilate said to the chief priest and the crowds, but they were insistent and said, when Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, Pilate sent Jesus off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about Jesus and was hoping to see him perform some sign. Herod questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod with his soldiers treated Jesus with contempt and mocked him. Then Herod put an elegant robe on Jesus and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, then they all shouted together, Barabbas was a man who had been put in prison for insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, a third time, Pilate said to them, but they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that Jesus should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. Pilate released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led Jesus away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country. And they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said,
daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?
Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with Jesus. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing."
And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying,
"He saved others, but he saved himself. He is the Messiah of God, his chosen one."
The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "There was also an inscription over him, 'This is the King of the Jews.'" One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, but the other rebuked him, saying, "Then he said, 'Jesus replied,
truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.'"
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said,
"Father, into your hands I commend my spirit."
Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, and when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all Jesus' acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Joseph took the body down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It is quite an extraordinary day out today. All yesterday, as I heard the weather forecasts, I kept praying about the procession that we were going to have from Hemming Plaza to the cathedral. I was afraid that Jesus, who was being played by our new Egyptian priest's son, Fuad, I was afraid that Jesus might be struck by lightning. I could just picture it all over the papers. A new kind of passion. Not such a good one. But we had a miraculous morning, and the sky seemed to wait for us, and we walked, without much rain at all the way to the cathedral. What is lightning? Scientists tell us that it is a bunch of electrical bursts in the sky that are unbalanced, and so they become one surge. One brilliant surge of energy that sears through the sky. And scientists know exactly what it is, but there is one thing that they cannot predict. They can never tell you exactly when the lightning will strike. They know what conditions are necessary for lightning to happen, but they cannot tell you exactly when. And lightning frightens us. What we remember today are events that occurred in Jesus' life that were a great deal like lightning. Over a period of 24 hours, a collective rage that seemed to be amongst the people of Jerusalem all of a sudden began to erupt. And the result of this eruption was that something completely unpredictable happened, an act of such violence and such injustice that it changed our world. And it too was frightening and unpredictable. The people of Jerusalem, the Jews, had lived for so many centuries under Roman oppression, and they were so angry. Their anger was boiling inside them, ready to explode. And the Romans knew this. The Romans knew about the rage of a crowd, and they used crucifixion as a means of expressing that rage. It was a way of declaring that criminals would be punished, sure, of course, but it was also a way of unleashing the power of that collective rage that the people felt. Because the Roman government did not want that anger directed at its due cause, at the source of the oppression, at the government itself. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about human anger. Because although God made you to be angry in the correct way and for the correct reason, for matters of justice, yet we as human beings can let our anger go unleashed, and we can become like animals if we are not careful. I don't know how you get angry. There are many different ways, you know. Some people are what I call spewers. That means when they get really angry and it erupts inside, they just start saying every mean thing they can possibly think of. Sometimes they get physical and they hurt the people they love because there's no longer any censoring. Every awful thing they feel, every hatred comes out, and they can do great damage. A Another kind of anger expression is stewers, people who stew. I'm like that. When someone wrongs me, I'm like a deer in headlights, and I don't feel a thing. But then I go home, and I start to stew. And the stew turns into a boil, and my husband will say, "Kate, what's wrong?" And I'll say, "Nothing." And the problem with stewers is that our anger begins to permeate our entire lives. It infects everything because we don't ever get it out. We hold it inside, hoping it'll go away because we don't want to be angry. And we can make a mess of our own lives. Days and years can go by if we don't learn how to express it and how to forgive. And there is a third kind of anger that is the most dangerous of all. And that is the anger of a crowd. You know, Fuad has a friend in Egypt who was helping some wounded people in a square there in Cairo. The soldiers were getting very riled up, and they saw that Fuad's friend had a cross on. So one of the soldiers ripped the cross off of his neck and threw it down on the ground and yelled, "Stomp on it!" Fuad's friend said no. And he kept yelling, "Stomp on it!" And more people gathered. "No, I will not," he said. "Stomp on it," the soldiers started chanting. And when he refused, they beat him badly and threw him in prison. And no one said, "Stop." You see, when human beings get into a crowd and they get energized and there's a surge of rage, many of them stop thinking. They think, "Well, everyone else is doing it. How else could we ever justify Nazi Germany, that there were soldiers who had wives and children who summarily ushered Jewish women and children into gas chambers where they died? How else could you understand that? Because if you had talked to any one of those soldiers alone, they would have denied such violence. But as a group, oh, as a group, human beings can turn off our brains and we become senseless animals. Why else would a group of college boys who are excited and having fun together all of a sudden grab a girl and hurt her terribly? Because no one thinks. When there is a collective rage, no one thinks. There is nothing that we can do about what happened to Jesus. We cannot go back in time. Only God will redeem the cross. But we can learn from it. You know, I think that if someone got on an airplane and tried to take a knife to hijack the airplane, that wouldn't work anymore, would it? We would stop them. We can learn from tragedy, from injustice, and we can learn from the cross. What I pray that we learn, we Christians, is that we will always think when we are in a crowd, that we will always take time. If we feel a surge of anger, take time, go away, do not rush. Everything that happened to Jesus happened so fast, No one stopped and just said, let's wait a day. If only someone had given it some time. Take time when you're angry. Don't send that hateful email. Don't say those hateful words. Wait. Give it some time. And if you are in a crowd that gets out of control, think, pray, and speak up. For the love of Jesus, speak up so that no one will have to suffer that kind of injustice again. Because when it happened to Jesus, all it would have taken was one person. One person to stand up and say, no, wait a minute, this is wrong. Wake up, everyone. This is an innocent man. But no one said a thing. No one said a thing. Let us pray. Lord God, Almighty Father, we know that you alone will redeem this great act of injustice that is the cross. But we ask that we, who are followers of Jesus, may learn from what happened, that we may come to know our own expressions of anger, to be kind and gentle with one another, to take time when we feel a surge of rage. And most of all, O Lord, we ask that you would give us the courage to speak up when the innocent are suffering, when groups of people seem to be running out of control. Give us the courage to speak, O Lord, that we may prevent such horrors from ever happening again. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad you're here today. If you're new to our congregation, please raise your hand. We promise we won't make you give a speech, but we want to know who you are so that we can welcome you. Welcome, welcome to everyone. Welcome over there. We also have a little card in your pew that you can fill out, and we'll send you our e-newsletter. If you would like to give Easter flowers in honor or memory of a loved one, envelopes may be found in your pews, and today is the last day to turn those in. Today, Palm Sunday, marks the beginning of the holiest season of the church year, called Holy Week. The Holy Week schedule is on our website and in your bulletin. Please consider being part of this amazing week as we walk with Christ through the Passion and to the cross and beyond. Your experience of the resurrection will be quite wonderful afterwards. On Wednesday night, we will host a Seder dinner, a Jewish Seder dinner, and there will be no regular programs on Wednesday night. If you would like to join us for that meal, please RSVP to the church. Hi, honey. Some people like to confess their sins during Holy Week, and I will be available on Wednesday. I have blocked off the day, so if you want to confess your sins, just call the church office, and we'll find a time. On the evening of Maundy Thursday, when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed, as you heard, the disciples kept falling asleep, right? So on that night, Christians all over the world stay awake with Christ. And right outside of Tolliver Hall, there are two sign-up sheets. One is if you would like to come into the church and pray at some point throughout the night in Cummings Chapel. We will have a Garden of Gethsemane set up there. If you are nervous about coming downtown, we also have a sign-up sheet for those who are willing to pray in their homes. So sign up for a half-hour increment to stay awake with Christ, and let's see if this cathedral community can stay awake all through the night together as one body with Christ. And last but not least, our parish family retreat will be coming up in late April. This is a wonderful event. Last year we had over 100 people that come, and I come with my family and we just hang out, we play games, there are programs, there's icon painting, all kinds of things. So we want to welcome you. Details and a reservation form should be in your bulletin if you want to join us at Camp Weed for the parish family retreat. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Oh.
Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For our sins he was lifted high upon the cross, that he might draw the whole world to himself. And by his suffering and death, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who put their trust in him. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation. In the calling of Israel to be your people, in your words spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the Word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with John and all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith and thanksgiving.
Thank you.
of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.